disciplines that are essential in a Christian's life to be able to grow and to be able to move forward. And so far we've taken a look at two disciplines. The first one was to abide in Christ, which means to remain or to live or to stay. And the second one, last week we looked at the importance of God's Word. And we talked about all kinds of different ways, five different ways that you can interact with the Word. And I hope I hope you did your little sheet. I'll have you pull one out in a little bit. Make sure you just go through 10 questions and rate yourself honestly. No wrong answer. It's just an honest assessment about where you are. So today, we're going to look at the discipline of prayer. I don't know if you've noticed that as a theme in our songs this morning. But we're going to look at this discipline of prayer. And so you say, what is prayer? If someone came up to you and they said to you, and it almost sounds like a silly question, but what is prayer? I thought about asking the kids, and I know I would never have got off the stage this morning with them. But prayer is nothing more than a direct line that we have to heaven. It's the red phone. It's the red phone that you can pick up any time, and you've got connection. Prayer is a communication process that allows us to talk and to listen to God. That's what prayer is. And the reality is that the God of all creation desires that we, as His created beings, communicate with Him. He wants us to talk like it's a person-to-person phone call. And that's really what prayer is about. And every time we pray, when you stop to think about what we're saying when we pray, we're not just giving Him our requests and we're not just trying to listen to Him. Every time we pray, we're declaring that God is real. It really presupposes a belief in the personality of God, that He's real. And that He has the ability and the willingness, one, just to listen to us, right? Not only does he just listen to us, but He can also do something about what we're talking to Him about. Other than that, we're just talking into the sky. Hello, ceiling, how are you today? Right? But we're not talking to the ceiling, we're talking to God, who is in control of all things, of all of His creation, and everything that happens around us. And when we pray, it's not just to say words. It's to say that we're with the God of creation. God is God, and we are not. Aren't you glad for that, right? God is God, and we are not. And because He's God, we can come to Him, and we can believe that He can do something about whatever we're asking Him about, or seeking, or just desiring to be in His presence. And so because you're here this morning, I'm assuming the majority of you are believers. You know Christ. You know what it means to walk with Jesus. Some of you might be visiting and you know that. Some of you say, I'm checking out this thing. But because you're here, you're going to say there is something about prayer that's important. But I think it's safe to assume that most of you would agree with this statement. Prayer is one of the most important things a Christian can do, because it's how we communicate with the God of all creation. Prayer is one of the most important things a Christian can do, and it's how we communicate with the God of all creation. So I am assuming that my assumption is correct. I also know that assumptions can get us in trouble. But because you're here, I assume that you believe that prayer is important. So how do we know it's important? Well, I just told you. That would be a good answer, right? We know it's important for all kinds of different reasons. Some of you, because your preachers have told you, it's important to pray. You went to church. Your Sunday school teacher says, you got to pray. Your mom and dad, before you can eat, you got to pray. That's important. You better pray before you're going to eat, right? So we've watched people, we've seen people, we see the importance of prayer. Some people pray because they don't want God mad at them. Oh, I better pray because God will be mad at me if I don't pray. Or if I don't pray, I'm not going to get what I want. I need to pray because if I don't pray, then I won't get what I want and I'm not going to be happy. So there's good reasons and there's bad reasons that we pray. And I think it's more important, though, the most important we can do is take a look at what does the Bible tell us about the importance of prayer? What does Scripture have to say? And it has a lot more than we can say in just a few minutes. I want to take a look at a number of different Scriptures this morning to see what it communicates, to see if you would agree with me that prayer is important for a number of different reasons. And so I'm going to start with this. Was prayer important to Jesus? And of course, I gave you a little hint. If you didn't know the answer to that question, prayer, it was very, very important to Jesus. Take a look at these scriptures. Most of us have heard these and we think about what Jesus was doing. But Matthew 26, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there," and what does it say? Pray. Okay. Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to what? Pray, and spent the night praying to God. Luke 9, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Kind of get the point here? There's a little repetition here. One is he loved mountains. He loved to get up outside, away from everything, it looks like. But he prayed. Not only did he pray himself, but as you saw with the kids this morning, he taught about the importance of prayer. He wanted them to know how to pray. And he gave the disciples the model prayer. In Luke 18, it says, then Jesus told the disciple, no, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he'd finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he took time. I don't think he just prayed the prayer like we prayed, but he must have explained, what does it mean to be hallowed be thy name? And he went through that. But not only did he teach them how to pray, he taught the disciples the importance of being persistent in prayer. And through one of his parables, he said, you've got to pray and not give up. Luke 18:1, then Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should, what? Always pray and not give up. Sometimes pray? No, always pray. That was the example he wanted the disciples to know. It wasn't just an every now and then thing. You were to always pray. Paul later wrote to pray without ceasing. I mean, that was to be a continual attitude of prayer. So Jesus prayed a lot. Jesus taught about it. He taught about the importance of it. And so the question is, then why should we pray? Why should we pray? I've got three things, very limited in the sense of everything the Scripture says, but three things I want to point out. Number one, why would we pray? Because prayer builds our relationship with Jesus. Prayer builds our relationship with Jesus. Now, when you think about the friends that you have in your life, it took time to get to know them. And one of the most important things you had to do in order to become their friend is you had to do what? You had to talk with them. Hey, my name's Wendell. I'm kind of shy. Hey, how's it going, right? You talked with them. And you listened to them, and they listened to you. But it takes time, and you needed to talk. Remember, that's what prayer is. What's prayer? It's talking to God. That's what it is. It sounds so basic, doesn't it? And when we think about what God wants out of us, it's so much more than just that we obey all of His rules and do all the right things, even though obedience is essential for us. What Jesus wants more than anything with us is a relationship. And the only way you can have a relationship is by spending time communicating and talking with that person. In fact, He doesn't want just a relationship that I know name and address and telephone number and those things. He wants to know me inside and out. And He wants us to know Him inside and out. So how do we get to know Jesus? Well, of course, we read Scripture. But the most important way we can do that is through prayer. Paul taught about this when he was writing to the Ephesians, and he actually prayed. This is a prayer that he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. It starts in verse 14. And he said, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Paul understood the importance of prayer. He understood that he had to do it. So this is exactly what you see him here doing. Verse 15, "From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people." Here's what He wants us to know. This is what He wants us to grasp. How wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul doesn't pray that the Ephesians would know more about God so they could obey every rule and do everything you're supposed to do. He prayed that, "I want you to know how much Jesus loves you. I want you to know Him that well." And out of that relationship, out of your love relationship with Jesus, guess what you're going to do? You're going to obey. It's just going to be natural. But He wants us to know how wide, how long, how deep, how high. That doesn't happen with a casual conversation, does it? To know a person at that level of intimacy. And then he says, it's a love that surpasses knowledge. That's one of my pea brain verses right there, isn't it? Because our brain can't even begin to grasp how much it is, it's going to surpass. That's how much He wants us to get to know Him. And when we get to know Him better, we're going to be filled with what? It says, all the fullness of God. And that fullness means there's nothing lacking in our relationship with the Father. We're right where we're supposed to be. And then God pours His love and power into us. He makes us complete for this life, but also for the life that we'll spend for eternity with Him. God does His part. What's our part? We must appropriate His presence and His power through faith and through prayer. And the ultimate goal, of course, is that we all become more Christ-like. The only way to become Christ-like is get to know Him. And we do that by praying. And then the Holy Spirit fills us. Pretty awesome. So why do we pray? Why is it important? We pray because we want to get to know Him and build our relationship. Does that make prayer important? Is that a yes? I would assume so. All right. Here's the other thing. Secondly, what is prayer? Why is it important? Because it helps us to overcome temptation. Anybody ever deal with temptation, or is it just me? Maybe it's just me. I'm not sure. But if you were here last week, you know we also said that God's Word is very powerful for us when we deal with temptation. Jesus starts His earthly ministry. He gets baptized, and He goes out in the desert, and He just had a picnic. Everything was great, right? No, it says that He was tempted. And He was tempted, and every time He was tempted, what did He say? It is written. He didn't pull out a scroll. He said, it is written. He knew God's Word. He had hid it in his heart, and it was able for him. He was able to stand against the temptation. Now, I don't believe that's the only time that Jesus was tempted. In fact, I don't believe it's only three times that Jesus was tempted in the desert. I think they kind of summarize a bunch of temptations. But if Jesus is truly who we believe Him to be, He was truly fully man and fully God, He was tempted like you and I are tempted all the time. So He was tempted multiple times in the desert, and then throughout His ministry for those 3 years, He was tempted. Right to the very end, we find that Jesus, at the very, very end of His life, He was tempted with a very, very big temptation. And we find that recorded for us in Luke 22. And He demonstrates for us what we need to do when we face temptation. So let me read the passage, and then we'll go from there. Luke 22, verse 39. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, He said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Let's stop right there. Jesus tells His disciples what you're supposed to do. Now, all good leaders do that. Here's the task. I want you to do this. Parents, we do that with our children. Children, do this. And the disciples must have said, okay, that's great. We'll pray and it's done. No more temptation. Wouldn't have been nice. That's all you have to do is be told and they wouldn't do it. Easier said than done. So Jesus goes beyond just commanding. He says, here's what you're supposed to do. Now I want to give you an example. I want to show you what I do when I face temptation. And so He gives the example. We come back to verse 41. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel of the Lord from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. Here's a command. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So what was the temptation for Jesus? What was it that He was being tempted? I think as a man, He was saying, "Father, I do not want to go through what I'm about to experience. I do not want to have to go through that. And if there's any way you can let that pass, I would like that to happen. You know these people that I'm about to die for. Many of them don't even care. They don't appreciate what I'm going to do for them. There's going to be people who will ridicule. They're going to trample your name, Father, into the dirt because they don't care about their sin. And I don't know if I can bear underneath the devil's joy as he turns up the flames of ridicule and agony." Now, all that is in the white pages, white spot between the black words. But you have to assume that as a man, that was a real struggle. It had to be terrible. Or he wouldn't have even asked if there's a way for the cup to be passed. So what does he do? What does he do? He modeled exactly what he had just told his disciples to do. He prayed. Guys, pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Understanding the temptation he was going to face. What does he do? He's honest, and then he prays, Father, if this can go another way, I don't want to have to do it, but I am more than willing. And we're told that he prayed so hard and so fervently that his sweat was like blood. So it's interesting. He commands at the beginning of the passage, then he demonstrates in the body of the passage, and then he reiterates it at the end. So what do we do when we face temptation? Here's a three-step model. Pray. Second one. Pray. Third one. Pray. 3 points. You should remember that one. That's very, very easy, right? Pray, pray, pray. That's what he wants to see. So is prayer important? Yes, prayer is very important. All right, one last thing. Prayer helps us determine God's will for our lives. And we sang that in the second song. I thought that was really neat. But Jesus shows us how important this is if we want to know what his will is. And it doesn't matter what it is, big or small. Listen in Luke 6, verse 12 and on. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he had also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was also called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So, the first thing as I read that passage and I thought about it, I have never spent a night in prayer. I've never done that. That's a long time. My brain is kind of squirrely at dog and over here and does all those kind of things. But he spent a night in prayer. So we know that whatever he was praying for, even if he didn't read the rest, it was very important to Jesus that he had the Father's mind on this. So he really wanted to do it. So what does he do? He prays all night. And he prays what seemed probably in the context of what was going on in history with everyone else around him was rather insignificant to the majority of people. Because what he did is he chose from the crowd of all the people who were following him, 12 people who we now know as the apostles. And you think about it, at that time, who would have really cared about what group of men this obscure rabbi from this obscure place in the world picked for leaders to follow after this guy that had no home, no place to put his head down, who really was not much of anything to a lot of the people. There was no major television coverage or news coverage on the prayer vigil that Jesus had. Yet because of his prayer, because of that all-night prayer, 2,000 years later, 2.1 billion people around the world call themselves by this obscure rabbi's name. They call themselves Christians. Jesus needed to know which of his followers, of all those people, would be the apostles that his Father wanted him to have. How did prayer help? And this is probably the coolest thing that I found in my study for the sermon this week. And it's based on how John Wesley answered that question. How did Jesus understand what God's will is? And really, it's the same thing for us. How do we determine what his will is? Listen to what Wesley said. I find that the chief purpose of prayer in seeking God's will is that prayer gets my will into an unbiased state. And once my will is unprejudiced about the matter, I find God suggests reasons to my mind why I should or should not pursue a course. So when I come up to you and I say, hey, would you pray for me? I've got this decision to make. I pretty much already got a mind up, don't I? I pretty much know what I think is going to be the best answer. I think that's true for all of us. And what Wesley said here, Lord, I want your will. I want to come back to the middle where I'm truly not, Wendell's not in there, but that I want to hear exactly what God has for me. I think that's pretty powerful. That really says I'm going to set aside my stuff and my will. And then he shows us which alternative or which choice is the best. That's how we get to know God's will. That's why praying is important. I think you would agree with me, correct? Prayer is important. Why? Because it's something that Jesus did. Prayer is important because it builds our relationship with Jesus so we can intimately know Him and know the depth of His love for us, so that we can share that with other people who don't deserve His love, but we didn't either. It helps us to overcome temptation so that we can walk in purity, because that's who God wants us to be. And it helps us to determine what God's will is. To be honest with you, that's, you know, again, you think about it, just a few of the reasons that God gives us prayer. It's also a spiritual tool to work against the evil one and the devil, and it protects us and it changes. But one thing, and I've seen most of you nod your head this morning, is that we agree that prayer is important. If you think prayer is important, would you say amen?
Amen. Amen.
Awesome. That's really cool. So here's a question for all of us to think about. What do we do with the things that we believe are important in our lives? What do we do with those things that are really important in our lives? I thought of a few of them. It's important that we eat. And because it's important we eat, I don't think most of us missed a meal lately. I'm not looking at anybody's waistline or anything, but the reality is eating is important. So what do? We eat. Here's another thing. We believe that sleep is important. You can do all the studies and talk to doctors and stuff. Sleep is very important. And because sleep is important, what do? We sleep. One more. Do we believe that work is important? Now, if you're the provider for your family, you would answer that question with a definite yes. Because work is important, we do it. We pray. Statistically, we find that most people, there's a study that I'm going to read here, most people who identify themselves as Christians, a high percentage, I'll say, who believe that prayer is important, don't pray. We believe it's important. In fact, you all said amen. That was a little bit of a setup, but just so you know, I said amen as well. Listen to this survey here. It's done of evangelical Christians. Of over 1,500 people surveyed, nearly all, which is 90%, said they read the Bible regularly, but only 31% said they set aside a substantial period of time to pray. Although 87% agreed that every Christian needs to spend time alone with God on a daily basis, and without that, their faith will suffer and not be what God wants it to be, 42% said they find it difficult to find time on a regular, disciplined basis to pray and to read their Bible. Nearly a fifth, which is 18%, said they do not have a fixed pattern of prayer, but rather pray when the chance or need arises. Oh, God, help me out of this one, right? Those kind of prayers. And that figure rises to 29% among those born after 1980. Based on that, and based on me, based on people that I've talked to about their prayer lives, I think it's safe to say that most, if not all of us, need to spend a little bit more time taking time to talk to our Savior. Why are we not praying? Oh man, I could have come up with a whole sermon, probably of all the different reasons. Not enough time, too tired, don't know how. Maybe it's because it's really not all that important to us. Life has been fine. I can do it without it. I'm successful. I'm making my money. My family's doing okay. My life's fine without it. I don't see any added benefits from it. So maybe what my encouragement for us this morning is not to guilt us, but if we really believe it's important, like eating and sleeping and working, what if every single one of us made a choice to be a little bit better prayers? I would ask you that you pray for me, that I would become a better prayer. I struggle as much as those in there, and I have my arrow prayers, and I have my time in the Word, and I pray, but there's times when I know that God just wants me to slow down. I would pray that you pray for our board and all the decisions they have, that they would be a little more praying people. For all of our leaders, for our worship team, for our Sunday school teachers, our growth leaders. It's really for all of us. There's lots of material. I don't know how. There's lots of material that's out there. There's a book, Too Busy Not to Read, by Bill Hybels. I would encourage you. It's a great book. Too Busy Not to Pray. So, if you've got questions, you want to talk to somebody, grab me, grab one of the elders, grab anybody. Say, hey, what do you do to pray? I want to just pray a little bit better this year. So I want you to take your bulletins out. I want you to take your little sheet out, please. If you could all do it, I would really appreciate it. Look around and make somebody feel encouraged. Take the little sheet out. Spiritual growth assessment, spiritual discipline, pray in faith. 10 little questions. How are you doing? Not to make you feel bad, but where are you at and where might you go if God is asking you to do something? Would you fill that out? Save it with the other two. If you've lost them, we can give it to you in the office. At the end of our 6 weeks, we're going to put them all together anyway. We're going to make an assessment and see where God might have us work. So, thank you for listening. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you that you love us so much. We can't even begin to understand how deep your love is for us. And you've given us this wonderful thing called prayer, the ability to bow our heads before you, the God of all creation. Lord, sometimes we don't pray because we have sin in our life. We have unconfessed things that we hold on to, anger or bitterness or jealousy. We have other sins that, Lord, we struggle with, and it just keeps us from feeling that connection. So I pray that we can just confess those things to you, Lord, and make a difference. Allow you to come in. Help us to find even just a little bit more time. Even if the prayer is, Lord, I want it to be as important as I say it is. I want you to be able to see that. So we love you and thank you for giving us the privilege of gathering and praying. I pray that you help us as we go from here to be your hands and feet and that you would be pleased. In your name we pray, Jesus. And the whole church said together, amen. Amen.